You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 138. You're going to love this. Praise God. You ready for the Word?
Yes.
Okay. I won't keep you long. Is it just 10 after? I've never gotten the pulpit this quick. 10 after. Wow. I may let you out before 12. Wouldn't that be amazing? Don't get your hopes up. But it could happen. Okay. Psalms 138, verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
Now here's David, or the psalmist. Yeah, this is the psalm of David. David is all the psalms are from David. This is his psalm. He is saying, I will praise him. You know, that takes a decision on your part. I like that. We often miss that. We just read across there and it says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Well, will you do that? That's a good question. Will you praise him with your whole heart? It's your decision. No one can make you do it. But if you do choose to do it, you will it, you know, then God will show up. Hallelujah. You can make a choice when things happen, whether you're going to praise God or you're going to, you know, are you going to doubt and get in unbelief? And where are you going to be discouraged, or whether you're going to be dismayed, or whether you're going to talk negative, or whether you're just going to go through life and just do nothing? Man, I don't want to go through life and do nothing. I want to praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, I will praise you with my whole heart. You know, that means get your whole life involved. I think, sadly, too many churches that you go into, and we're pro-church. I'm not against churches, and we're not in competition. God forbid I'm going to stand up here and just blast churches. I just want to talk abstractly here, not anybody in particular, but you've probably seen this, and I've experienced this too. You go into churches, and they kind of go through the rituals, and there's nothing wrong with having songs lined up. We do that. And you know, we sing, and then we go into the Word, and we teach, and so on and so forth. But they kind of go through the motions, but their heart's not in it. I mean, you know, there's nobody really getting excited. Now, not this church. Hello. Nobody's jumping or clapping or, you know, they're just singing. But he's saying, I will praise you with my whole heart. And I'm going to put some passion in it. I'm going to put some fire in it. You know, I preached one time on the fire of God and how that in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, they were supposed to bring their offerings, but they were supposed to put it in the fire. They were supposed to burn the offering. And the offering was supposed to be brought with fire. And that's really a shadow or a type of us. When we come and offer to God our lives, we should have some passion. We should have some fire. Right. If we're going to worship him, do it like you mean it. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you're going to say you love him, love him. If you say he's worthy, well, put some passion in your voice and say, God, you are worthy. God, I love you. I love you. I mean, there's some fire. Bring the offering and put it some fire on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With your whole heart. Deuteronomy 6, this, if you were a Jewish person, you'd have known this as a little child. It's called the Shema. That's a Hebrew word. Starting out, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole strength. And that passage of scriptures there, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, if you go through the whole thing, it says you shall write these upon, you know, your doorpost, and you shall talk of them when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way. You shall teach these to your children. And what he's saying is, teach them to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Jesus quoted it when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, well, the greatest is real easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. He was quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, I believe is where it is. But I think we miss that part, especially when it comes to serving God or praising God or worshiping God. We don't put passion in it. Are you with me? And we don't just kind of do it just out of memory or do it out of duty or we do it out of obligation. But that's not what David was saying. He said, I will praise you with my whole heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he says, before the gods. Now, there's no other gods. This is even small letter gods. In other words, before the host of heaven. I think there's one translation even says before the angels, the host of heaven. There is but one God. But before all the heavenly beings and what all the world calls gods, I'll praise you. Amen, because there is but one God. He says, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. That's where our praises go to. And it's a matter of the will. It's a decision. Nobody can do this for you. I don't know what's happened to you. Different things happen to different people. I don't know how you were raised. I hope you were raised good. I hope you had a good mom and a good daddy. Maybe you didn't. But it doesn't really matter when it comes down to praising God. This is your choice. This is not their choice. This is what you choose to do. This is not what's happened to you. This is not what you're going through. This is your will. This is your choice. This is your decision, and you need to make it. And you need to make a choice to praise God. Amen. Are you with me? To worship Him with your whole heart. This is what we were made for. You and I were born for such a time as this. You know, I may not be good at a lot of things, but I can praise God. I may not be gifted like others. I may not have the creativity that others have. I may not have the talent of other people. I may not be as intelligent as others. I may not be as good looking as others. But I can praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can worship my Maker. I can worship the one who sent His Son to die for my sins, my Father. And I can do it with my whole heart. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for passion.
Yes.
He's not looking for all your ability and mind and talents and gifts. We have those. If we have them, God gave them to us. Give them back to Him. But if you don't have something someone else has, you do have a heart, and you can give it to God.
Yes.
And you can do it with your whole heart. Amen? Amen? You can do it decisively. You know, David said in Psalms 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want."
Amen.
I like that. He made a decision. You know, I decide, I will not lack. I'm going to decide that the Lord is my shepherd, and I don't know about everybody else, but I know I'm the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack.
Amen?
Amen? He even said in Psalms 91, the psalmist said this. He said, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust."
Amen.
People say a lot of things, but this is what I will say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I choose. This is my decision. This is my choice. I don't know what people have done to you, but I know you have a choice as to what you say and what you do.
Amen.
And I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to worship God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say, "The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my God. In Him will I trust." I will. Decisively. Your decision. That's good stuff. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, I will. See, we're already almost through the first verse. 8 weeks. He said, "I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple." In other words, he's got a gaze. He's got a fixation. He's got a focus here. You know, there's a lot going on in life, but hey, it's what you focus in on that's going to determine your destiny and your future. There's a lot of problems in life, a lot of issues going on. You know, I mean, there's a woman that had an issue of blood in Mark 5. We got other issues. But anyway. Okay, y'all have to catch them fast, okay? But at any rate, it's what you focus in on. It's not what's happened to you. It's not what's happening around you. It's not all the things going on. It's not all the things you see. It's what you focus in on. And he says, "I will worship toward your holy temple." He's got his attention fixed on God. He's worshiping toward heaven. He's looking to the hills from whence comes his help. Hallelujah. Oh, he sees everything just like you and I see all kinds of things. But see, I'm focusing in on God. Not on those things. Well, don't you see the pain? Don't you feel the pain? Well, sure, I feel the pain. I see the pain. But I'm focusing in on God. It's amazing how nothing else matters when you have a focus, when you have a purpose, when you have a direction you're going, when you know what the main thing is. Most people go through life and never get the main thing. Never get what it's all about. And they get distracted with little things that are going on. You know, I was thinking that as I was hunting in South Africa, I knew I'd work that in somehow. I was thinking of the sacrifices that you make when you go hunting. How early you get up. How late you stay up. How the pain you go through climbing rocky mountains and valleys. Are you with me? But it's for the cause. You're focused on the great kudu that you're going to take down. Many of you probably know what a kudu is, but anyway, it's an African animal. But, I mean, nothing else really matters. Nothing else really slows you down, even if you have to struggle. It's okay. You know, it's worth the struggle. It's worth the pain. Because you're looking at the prize. You're looking at the goal. You got purpose. You have a reason. See, we've got purpose.
Yes.
Has life got struggle? You better believe it's got struggle. I mean, don't ever think that when we preach and teach you that God wants to bless you and heal you and prosper you, that we're saying you're not going to have struggles. Of course you're going to have struggles. We're in a broken, fallen world. There are going to be setbacks. There are going to be challenges in life. There's going to be crisis. That happens to everybody. What we preach and we teach from the Bible is that there is someone bigger than that challenge and that crisis and that struggle. And if you will trust Him, hallelujah, You're going to go through some tough times, sure, but you're not alone. You're going to come out of it. Amen? And it's a matter of focus. Are there giants in the land? Sure are. Are there walled cities? You bet. But you know what? God's bigger than the walled cities, and He's greater than the giants. And we are well able to overcome. Our God, whom we serve, is bigger than this challenge and this crisis that we're going through. Well, man, everything's coming to pieces around me. It seemed like I'm just having the worst time of my life. Well, don't stop. Don't stop there. Just keep going. You know, I heard Jerry Spill preach a message one time on a train. You know how a train goes through city after city, and the guy will get up, or the conductor, or whoever's in there, will get up and say, "Next stop, Terrell." And then whoever wants to get off gets off at Terrell. And then, you know, a train starts going. Next stop, Will's Point. You know, if it's heading west, going this way. So if you want to get off Will's Point, you get off Will's Point. Head east, yeah. Train's heading east. Okay. I know you're thinking, well, Pastor, where are you headed? But anyway, I have a point. So we're going east. Next stop, Will's Point. If you want to get off Will's Point, you know, you get off there. Next stop, Edgewood. And, you know, right on down the list. You just keep going. And you stay on till you get to where you want to go. Yeah. The problem is when a crisis hits, we get off. Yeah. You're going through some pain? Don't get off yet. Let's stay on the train. Next stop, healing. Next stop, victory. Next stop, deliverance. Why get off on a stop that you don't want to get off on? Why quit now? Get off the train now. This train's going down the tracks, hallelujah, and we're going to victory. It's a matter of focus here. We're looking toward the temple. We're looking toward heaven. We got our eyes on Jesus, hallelujah. We're going to get through this thing. Hallelujah. I will worship toward your holy mountain and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. I love that. This truth is greater than your crisis. It's greater than your pain. It's greater than your problem. It's greater than the way you've defined or described the struggle you're going through. There's something more true than that. That may be a fact, but that's not the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word is what we're praising Him for. And the truth is, He will deliver us. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. That's pretty slick, wouldn't you like it? There will be an end to this trouble. Okay. All right, I'll quit. But what we do, we praise Him for what? We praise Him for His loving kindness. Do we praise Him for the problem? No. We praise Him for His goodness. We praise Him for His truth. We praise Him for His promise. Do you praise Him for this struggle? No. I praise Him for getting me out of this struggle. I praise Him He's greater than the struggle. I praise Him for His loving kindness. I praise Him for His truth. I praise His name. For you have magnified your word above your name. New King James says here. I believe some modern translation says His word is magnified by the honor of His name or something along those lines. I think it's really plain what he's saying here, that His name's as good as His word is. And His name's good because His word's good. I know when I was teaching on the matchless name of Jesus, and we taught a series on that on Wednesday nights, and just had an awesome time taking that apart. And we talked about how the name Jesus is not a magic name that you just tack onto a prayer. You're actually believing and trusting Him. You can't trust Jesus for everything. You can only trust Him for what He said He would do. So His name's as good as His word, that's all. A lot of people pray for something in Jesus' name that God doesn't say. And they'll say, well, hey, I use Jesus' name. Yeah, but see, He magnifies word above His name. His name, what's behind His name is His word, just like you, just like me. My name's only as good as my word, that's it. If my word's no good, my name's no good. Isn't that right? Even in business, you know that's the case. Someone's name comes up, and whether they were faithful or had integrity or paid their bills or did the job they said they were going to do, will make the difference whether you say, hey, he's got a good name, or that's a good man. The name's only as good as the word. So I couldn't believe, you know, for God to hurt somebody in Jesus' name, or for God to, you know, I couldn't believe for another man's wife, God forbid, something crude like that. But people do that. They believe, you know, well, in Jesus' name, I'm just believing. Well, you can't believe for that in Jesus' name. His word's above His name. His name is as good as His word. That's why you can trust Jesus and you can stand on His in His name, because His word's good. Amen?
Amen.
So He says this. Hey, that second verse. We're already through the second verse. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Hallelujah. When I find out what His word says, then I can use His name. But how in the world could I use Jesus' name if I don't even know what His word says? I don't even know what I'm believing. Y'all catch it? I can't believe in Jesus' name. What am I believing for? I don't even know what His word says. I have to know this Jesus and what He says to use His name. I have to, because I can't believe in His name for something I don't even know He says. He may not even be that kind of Jesus. But from His word, I know what kind of Jesus He is, what kind of God He is, and so He magnifies His word above His name. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I see a lot of abuse in that. A lot of people use the name for everything. They just like a magic word. They just tack it on to everything. And if it's not scriptural, biblical, it doesn't matter how much you use the name. The name's not going to work. It works the word. It works what He says. Hallelujah. And His word says He loves us and He's for us. And hallelujah. He's crazy about us. Praise God. He's got great designs and purposes and plans for us. Amen. In the day, third verse, when I cried out, you answered me. Hallelujah. This God hears us when we pray. This God listens intently for our cry. In the day we cry, He hears us. And He answers us. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 11:24? He said this. He said, all things that you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. When do you believe you receive them? When you pray. When does God hear us? When we pray. When does He answer us? When we pray. It may be a while before we see a difference. It may be a while before we feel any difference. Or the situation changes in the natural, but God has heard us the day we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He answered us that day.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And that's why we thank Him and worship Him. Because even though it doesn't look like it, it's going to be okay. Because we've trusted God here. We stood on His word. And the day we cry, He answers. Hallelujah. And He doesn't answer yes and no and sometimes wait a while. He answers yes if it's based on His word. Whew, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now you can see why you praise Him with your whole heart. I mean, you know, He defines the reason for that first verse through the rest of the psalm. God is worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your attention. And I went hunting and I mentioned that. I've been gone a couple weeks to South Africa. I praise God for a good hunt. I praise God when I took that kudu down at 24 yards with my bow. I did. I mean, they were filming there where I was standing there, laying down there with my bow over this kudu with these big horns coming out like this. And I was just thanking God. One of the ranch owners' name was Johan. He's a Christian. Johan. He's an African. Johan. Yeah. He said, I pray for you this morning. And I said, God heard your prayer. The whole family was Christians there. And, of course, the guide that was with us over the ministries, his name is Rufus Litteg. He's also an African. Got a real thick accent. Loves God. Loves Jesus. I mean, everybody we were with was just turned on to the Lord. It was just an awesome, awesome time. And, you know, God wants you to have a good time. He really does. It's not, you know, we think it's just church, praising God, worship. And this is cream. This is icing on the cake. This is the creme de la creme. This is it. This is as good as it gets for sure. But you know, when you go out, He wants you to enjoy life too. He really does.
Yes.
I'm thinking of the 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Yes.
I mean, God made the sunset for your pleasure. He made creation for your pleasure. The thing is, you just don't want to misdirect the glory and the praise and the thankfulness. You ought to be thanking God for that. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So, in the day I cried out to you, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul.
Yeah.
Anybody like to be bold? I pray a little more. Because you pray, you get bold. I love that too, because he doesn't just immediately get rid of the problem. He answers us, yes, and he begins to work in us to get rid of the problem. He begins to work in us to stand in faith and to come against the situation and to make the stands that we need to stand, to live holy like we should live. And then what happens is the enemies scatter and we win. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he does a miracle in us. See, that's where struggle comes in. Struggle, God doesn't send struggle. He sends strength. And he doesn't send struggles to us or hardships to us or affliction to us. He sends us to the hardship and to the affliction to get rid of it. A lot of people get all that confused. And they say, well, God put me through all this pain. And God sent... No, God sent me to take care of the struggle. He didn't send the struggle to take care of me. He didn't send the pain to take care of me. He didn't send the hardship to take care of me. He sent me down here to take care of the hardship. Now, you have to think about that, but that's really what it says. So, does God send struggle? Absolutely not. God's not into pain. God's not into killing, death, stealing, all that. The Bible says the thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. In fact, Jesus said the thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, we are here in a broken, fallen world, and God has raised us up to change it with his power. And what he does in the midst of it, he strengthens us to overcome it. I love that. It says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. The New Living Translation says, you encouraged me by giving me the strength I need. I like that one. The New International Version says, you made me bold and stout-hearted. I love that. You know, Phyllis Brooks, this is a real famous quote. He was like a poet, a cleric around the 1800s. He said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you yourself shall be a miracle. And every day you will wonder at yourself at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. I tell you, God wants to make something better out of us. He doesn't just get rid of the problem. He makes us strong to get rid of the problem. And then when the problem's over, what are you amplifying? It may be amplified, but it's small print. Let's see. Okay. It says here, amplified, in the day when I called, you answered me, and you strengthened me with strength, might, and inflexibility to temptation in my inner self. I like that. In other words, we don't flow or bend to temptation. We're inflexible with temptation. We don't give in to it. Isn't that good? And so if you'll pray to this God, worship this God, our God, hallelujah, you'll have strength for the trial, strength for adversity, strength for struggle. You'll have boldness to go through. Hallelujah. Hey, life's tough. Get over it. I didn't say that in a mean way. It's just life. Life is tough. We're in a fallen world. Now, that's not to belittle or demean your pain. I know we're hurt. I know we go through pain. But at some point, we've got to quit the blubbering. We weep with those that weep. I've weeped too. I've hurt too. Are you listening to me? I'm not being hard here. But at some point, we've got to stop the whining. We've got to stop the going over the thing over and over and over. We've got to stop complaining. We've got to start believing God and come through this mess.
Amen.
We can all waller in the past. That's East Texas for hang around too long. Waller. We can all go over how we've been a victim of this, and this has happened to us. And this, hey, listen, there's not a one of us in here that hadn't had things happen. Just traumatic things. I mean, if I start telling my story, somebody can stand up and says, oh, you think you got it bad? Listen to this. And then somebody else says, oh, you think that's bad? You ought to see what happened to me. I mean, really, we go all day with that, and it's true. Things have happened to all of us. But here's the good news. We can rise above it. We can, we can, we can, we can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can focus in on Him. We can turn our heads toward the temple, toward heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. We can draw strength from God in our inner man. And we can come through this thing and get over this mess. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Fourth verse says, and all the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. I like that. If you ever truly, really hear the words of God's mouth, you will praise Him. A lot of people really don't hear it. They might have listened to it, it came through, but they really didn't hear it. They didn't get it. I heard a hearing ear is E-A-R, expect, anticipate, and receive. That's a hearing ear. Jesus would say things like this, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He was talking to everybody, but everybody wasn't hearing. In fact, I even quoted that Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 that starts out, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The word hear is the word shema or shama that I quoted. That's the Hebrew word. It means to hear and obey. Hear and act on it. Hear and do it. Hallelujah. Be doers of the word. Not hearers only, but hearers that do. So if you ever do hear his word, you'll praise him. Well, what in the world I want to praise God about? Well, you ain't got it yet. You wouldn't be asking that question. Oh, I've been to church, yeah, but you didn't hear. Because if you heard it, you'd be rejoicing, you'd be praising God, you'd be shouting. As we say sometimes in the South, not disrespectfully, but just a saying, you'd be so excited, you'd jump up and slap your mama. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but you all heard that? I mean, we say some of the craziest things. Who ever heard that? Slap your mama. Woo, man. Man, I slap my mama, she's going to slap me back. I mean, but anyway, if you get it, you'll praise them, amen? And I think the only reason we're not praising God is we don't get it. We ain't got it yet. We don't realize we got hope, we got help, we got an answer. We don't realize we can get through the struggle. We don't realize there's somebody bigger in the struggle. We've already won in Christ Jesus. We've already overcome in Christ. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? So all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. If the world needs to hear something, they need to hear the ways of the Lord. Amen. And you and I are the ones who are going to sing those ways. Sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. There's a tune being sung. There's a song that's going around the world. But I tell you what, it's the wrong song. The world's singing the wrong tune. They're singing the wrong song. Born to lose, and now I'm losing you. What? That's a good one. Or you know, way back in my generation, born to be wild. We're singing the wrong song. We should be singing of the ways of God. Hello. We can make it. You know that old saying about country and western music? You play it backwards and you get your wife back, you get sober, you okay. I just had to throw that out there. Okay. So we ought to be singing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Instead of singing about the pain, singing about the problems, singing about this and that. Hallelujah. Yes, they sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, listen to this, this is the heart of God, I love this. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. Well, he's so great, he's so big, he's so far off, he's so beyond us. We're just a speck, just a dot in the universe. No. Though the Lord is on high, he regards the lowly, the humble, the people that really truly humble themselves before the Lord. But the proud he knows from afar. He doesn't know them intimately very well. In fact, you won't know him very well if you're very proud either. See, a proud man's always looking down on everybody. And the problem with looking down on everybody, you never see anybody that's above you. And so, as long as you're proud, you don't see God. And the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And he regards the humble and actually rejects the proud. We know that from James, the 5th chapter, 5th verse, and also in 1 Peter 5, about the 6th verse, he says the same thing there. So if we humble ourselves before God, we're going to get through this. We're going to make it. Amen? We're going to win. Hallelujah. We've already won in Christ. Though the Lord's on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. I don't want to know God from afar. From afar or a fire. That's confusing, these texts. You get a little confused with that language in these texts. But I want to know him close up. You know, you can be one of the disciples, or you can be Peter, James, and John. Or you could be John, the one whom Jesus loved. I love that. You can get as close as you want to get. How close do you want to get? Don't know him from afar. Know him close up and intimately. He's really wanting you to do that. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, seventh verse. I think about Psalms 23, verse, six? Four, verse four, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody say through. I love that verse because he didn't say, yea, though I die down there. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody always likes to quote Job when they're going through trouble. Job wound up with twice as much stuff. You ought to read the end of Job, the last chapter of Job. Job won in the end and had twice as much stuff as he started out with. Most people quote Job from the standpoint they're never going to make it. It's fatalistic. We're going under and there's nothing we can do. Listen, I don't know what's going on in our country. Who knows what's going on in our country? Nobody knows. Who knows what's going on in the world? Nobody knows. Except God. But I know as far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I know as far as me and my household, the Lord's my shepherd and I shall not want. I know as far as me and my household, my God supplies my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm coming out the other side, hallelujah. I'm not going to die in this valley. My focus is somewhere else. I see it all going on. I'm in the middle of all that, but my focus is on Him. I'm looking toward heaven. Hallelujah. I will praise you with my whole heart. That's what he started out saying here. Okay, so let me wrap this up. I'm going to get you out early today. Y'all don't believe me. You act like I'm just lying to you, and that's not good. You're thinking about your pastor like that. Anyway. Okay. So he says, 7th verse, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. It's not over. It's not hopeless. You're not helpless. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. He didn't say he can. He said he would. He didn't say he was able. He said he would. Everybody says God's able. Everybody that's a Christian believes God's able. But what divides those that are really believing God and not believing God is when we say he will. He will. I will get through this. I will make it. I will rise again. A righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. Hallelujah. And I believe that God will do what he says. Not just able, but he is willing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalms 34:19. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. Hallelujah. Anybody been afflicted? I've seen lots of people come through the church that are afflicted and conflicted. But I know those that trusted God and believed God might have gone through some stuff, but the Lord delivered us out of them all. I've been afflicted and conflicted, but the Lord has delivered me out of them all. Hallelujah. I've had a lot of struggle when I think back in my life. A lot of things have happened since I became a Christian, but the Lord delivered me out of them all. And there's no reason for Him to change. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He can be trusted. I trust Him for His faithfulness. I trust Him and praise Him for His truthfulness, for His truth. I trust Him because He's magnified His Word above His name. Hallelujah. Your right hand will save me. You know, your right hand will save me. Your right hand will save me. Your right hand. Why? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're calling on Him. See, that's what He said over in the third verse. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. There's a condition here. You do something. You have a part to play. We're working together with God on this. When trouble comes, we cry out to God. When trouble comes, we believe God. And because we cry out to God and believe God, He comes and He saves us. And He strengthens us. And He makes us bold. Now, the day we quit crying out to God is the day we start losing. Amen? And we can't blame God because we didn't do our part. We didn't will to praise Him. We didn't will to call on Him. Hallelujah. Okay. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. 8th verse. Come on. Oh, now, come on. You're not done yet. I love that. Okay, 8th verse. Here we go. You're going to love this. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord will. The Lord will. The Lord will. It's not over. No, sir. It's not over. No, I'm not quitting now. come too far to quit now. Know too much, believe too much, prayed too much, worked too much, stood too much, praised too much. No, not going. Are you kidding? I was born for such a time as this. This is not the time to quit. This is the time to continue on, because the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He will fulfill that desire. He will fulfill that calling. He will fulfill that dream or that vision. He will fulfill that passion and that fire. He will do it. I'm still alive. I got time left. The clock's still ticking. Amen? There's still ink in the pen. I'm still writing. It's not over. Don't close the book. No, sir. I'm still writing new chapters and new pages. Hallelujah. Because the Lord, because I'm trusting God. See, I'm not trusting the world. I'm not trusting the economy. I'm not trusting circumstance, situation. And as much as I love you, take this from my heart. As much as I love all of you, my faith is not in you. It's in God. My faith's not even in me. It's in God. Oh, I trust you and I love you. My destiny is determined by what God says. And yours is too. And most people, you know, a lot of people will let you down. There's some that will stand with you. There's some that are true friends for life and true brothers and sisters for life and some good family, some bad. But God will never let you down. You can always trust Him. You can always put your faith in Him. Hallelujah. We have a very unique church in that area, in that arena when you think about it. We have people that have been coming here since we started the church. That is unheard of. I mean, there are people in this building right now that started with us some 27 years ago. That is very unusual. Almost unheard of, especially in the kind of church, independent churches like we are. But you know, even that, it was God that did it through us. Hallelujah. I think of Henry. Henry got saved, the first year or two we started the church? 1984. Wow. Came down front and just cried like a baby. I did too. I'm an empathy crier. People cry, I cry. But I remember when Henry came and got saved. Henry Wanda got involved in the church, and I just couldn't run them off. I tried everything, and they're still here. Dr. Galloway here was doing Bible studies. There's Dave and Tina. And you know, I'm going to miss people if I start looking around here. But you know, Jason, goodness gracious, yeah, and Travis and Ottingers. And okay. You know who you are. Okay. But our trust has been in God, hasn't it? Amen. We've done some just phenomenal things, but it's been God. Hallelujah. Our trust has been in Him. The Lord has been perfecting that which concerns us. I remember when we first started the church, the dreams, the visions, the plans we had, you know. I remember how God began to tweak that vision and refine that vision, how little by little He began to bring it to pass. And there were times it didn't look that great, but you know, we just hung in there. We didn't quit. We didn't get off the train because we hadn't got to our stop yet. Truth is, we still haven't got to our stop yet. We're still on the train because there's more coming. Amen? Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Hallelujah. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. You know, Philippians 1:6 says that what God has begun, He will finish. And God has begun something great in your life. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, let Him finish it. I think of Romans. We were talking about this morning on the way to work. Brenda was just sharing out of Romans, the fourth chapter. She'd make a on the way to church. Work, church. It's all the same to me. It's all, you know. She was talking about Romans, the fourth chapter, where it says there in the 21st verse about Abraham believing God. And he says he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He was convinced that God was going to finish what He started. He was convinced that God was going to perfect that thing that concerned him. He was convinced that God didn't make a promise lightly, and God didn't make commitments lightly, and God didn't change His mind, but that when God said something, He meant it, and He was going to do it.
That's right.
And that's what you got to be convinced of. That's what the psalmist was saying here. He was saying, hey, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me.
Amen.
Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Hallelujah. And he says, do not forsake the work of your hands. Well, I'm the work of His hands. You're the work of His hands.
Right.
Ephesians 2:10 says, we are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I love that. I am the work of God. And He will not forsake the work of His hands.
Amen.
He has begun a good work in me and He will perform it. He will perfect that which concerns me.
Amen.
Well, it kind of puts full meaning and makes you understand that first verse, I will praise you with my whole heart. God is good. Amen?
Amen.